Let's change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, this is Mickey Desai, your host for this episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast. Very happy again to be talking with Carol Hamilton, who's the principal of Grace Social Sector Consulting. Carol, how are you doing?
Great, and thank you for having me on the podcast again.
Yeah, I'm glad we could do this. I had put the call out to try to talk to people who could speak about organizational culture, talking about things like listening and transparency, stuff like that. And I'm very eager to get into this. Organizational culture is something that I think a lot of nonprofits don't really get to talk about. So let me hand the ball to you so you can get us started on that topic.
Yeah, I was actually, I did a session yesterday on the topic, and when I asked people how would they define it, several of the answers were, well, I'm not really sure what it is. It's kind of amorphous. I kind of know we have one, but, what is it exactly? And so I think, it's helpful to kind of have a shared understanding. And basically, an organizational culture are those shared basic assumptions that folks form over the course of building the organization, oftentimes very influenced by whoever founded the organization. And then it becomes a set of norms that as new people are brought in, you teach them about that. And those can be, very explicit things, but then can also be mostly a lot of implicit, kind of just how we do things around here.
Right. Right. Culture is still taught, right? It's still very much a taught thing. It's not something that just kind of erupts, but people teach each other what those little mores and norms are within an office environment or within the work environment. Is that not a fair thing to say?
Yeah, and you may be taught it by making mistakes.
Okay.
So you may bump up against assumptions that people assume everybody knows, but until you kind of break the norm, you won't know that, well, actually, that's not considered okay in this particular organization. And yeah, it can be, things that you might tell a new person as they're coming on board. And then there might be things that they observe just in how people interact with each other. Learn by just experience.
Mm-hmm. Can you think of some examples?
Yeah. So, it might be just some simple things on how meetings get set. So, there may be a organization where the culture is that, everyone is on time. In fact, being on time is late and you need to be there 5 minutes beforehand. And in another culture, that might be the exact opposite where, only the interns show up on time. And, if you're really important, you get there 10, 15 minutes late and kind of amble in. So, you just never know. And you kind of have to learn as you go. Maybe something like, don't rock the boat, or, actually we really appreciate lively conversation, which other people from another culture might perceive as a high, a conflict, but here that's just a good debate. Right. So it's things like that. And then, those explicit parts of the culture are your mission and your vision, the logo that you have, the tagline. Those are things that are tangible that people can see, what's your employee handbook? What are your policies and procedures, your bylaws, those kinds of things. But those are things that are a little more visible than kind of just those, how we do things around here, norms and behaviors.
Right. I mean, I have a bunch of questions at this point, mostly along the lines of how then do you change an existing culture? But I think there's some stuff we need to talk about before we go there. There is no actual recipe for what functional cultures means, is there? Like people are different, and therefore success or cultural success is also different depending on each organization. Is that an incorrect statement?
Well, I think there are things that people will there are organizational assessments that can point to more constructive cultures than of course the extreme might be a really toxic or dysfunctional culture, but there are certain things that organizations that have a healthy organizational culture do differently than your typical culture. And a lot of it has to do with empowering employees, trusting people, building a sense of trust, really prioritizing employee well-being, and you know, allowing and encouraging work-life balance and self-care, and then really paying attention to good human resource or people practices in terms of, you know, how you're hiring people, onboarding, all of those kinds of things, giving regular feedback. So there are some things that you can point to as more healthy cultures, but the exact things of how that will be really come from taking the time to be intentional about having conversations about how folks want to work together, and not just having all those norms be hidden, but actually having a conversation so that you can get them above the table and start having some agreements that folks can step into in terms of how they're working together and how they're showing up.
So it sounds to me like you're saying that there are universal things that again, not to be redundant, but that universally work to separate good cultures from bad ones.
Yeah, I think, and there's a balance. I mean, I think, you know, if it's the whole emphasis is just around well-being and you know, self-care without any focus on the mission and the work of the organization, you're going to be out of balance. But when there's both a priority of, you know, you're going to do quality work, we're going to empower you to, you know, follow, have some autonomy in self-direction in your work, and also not expect you to kind of be a martyr to the cause and just work all the time. I think, and those kinds of healthier cultures actually, not only is it good and feels good and people are more, it ends up that people are actually more engaged. Mm-hmm. And so the organization itself produces better results.
Right. Well, in that case, I guess my next question is, you know, we all tend to want the same thing out of a job or out of working in the nonprofit sector. We're all looking for a certain level of fulfillment, not to mention a paycheck. But then why then, and maybe this goes back to the original point we made when we started the episode, which was why then does anything get in the way of stopping that from being the fulfilling experience we want it to be?
Sure. Yeah, I think unfortunately there are many, many organizations, even though they may have a great mission, you know, they're doing good work out in the world, sometimes that mission and the values that undergird what the positive change that they're trying to make in the world doesn't necessarily get translated into how they work together. And so, you know, and I think that can be even harder to deal with in the nonprofit sector, because people do have a sense of, you know, we're doing this for, you know, I'm dedicating my life to a mission, to a cause. And so there's a sensitivity to that disconnect of and mismatch between values from the external to the internal. And so I think nonprofits need to pay extra attention, even though that can be really hard to do, because it's, you know, with mission focus, you never feel like you've got enough time, money, resources, and especially in our culture, paying attention to people may feel like a luxury. And so that gets in the way.
Wow. Wait a minute. Let's go back there. Paying attention to people may feel like a luxury. That seems like such a terrible thing to say.
Well, we lived in a capitalist country and, the goal is not, caring for people. Yeah. And certainly the sector, you know, mitigates against that and is in that culture. And so I think the too often a scarcity mindset can get in the way. There's never enough time. There's always too much to do. And so people don't take care of themselves. They don't model taking care of themselves. And so then it doesn't feel like for other people on staff that it's okay. If the leadership is working all the time, that it's okay for them to take care of themselves. So there's a ripple effect.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly there is. Absolutely. One of the questions we got from a listener She asks, how does funding pressure within an organization shape competition within the organization?
It can, and that can be really destructive, because feeling like you're really all pulling towards a common goal, and that sense of teamwork really is one of the things that separates, good kind of okay cultures from really more productive cultures. And it's interesting that those kinds of external, what might be incentives, so somebody might be, working towards hitting a goal or whatnot, and then get a reward for that. Those kinds of things, the research has found that they work in the short term, but they actually are detrimental to people who work in knowledge work, in kind of human-centered work over the long run. So whatever way that the organization can, if they're mindful of that challenge, have it feel like everyone's contributing or everyone's benefiting from, funding wins. I think, it's going to overall help the culture of the organization.
Right. Well, I want to kind of say that may be also another challenge of leadership in general. Funding pressures being what they are, you still have to keep your team cohesive and cooperative. And is that not a function of what leadership is supposed to do?
Right. And I think there's when folks are told, oh, be more like a business, and we see, we tend to value competition in our culture and think that it's motivating to people when, like I said, the research has shown that it may be motivating in the short term, but it actually can hurt people's productivity over the longer term.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a book by a fellow named Alfie Cohn called No Contest, which says that in very plain language and with data, actually, that competition is not good in the long term.
I'm citing Daniel Pink's Drive, which talks about what really motivates people. So,
So how then do we do that if we're going to look at creating a culture, and if defining a culture is sort of a function of collaborative leadership, how then do we keep a staff cooperative? How do we do conflict management and things like that?
Well, I think, the first thing to do is to start realizing that you are creating a culture, that culture is there whether you're paying attention to it or not. And so leaders can be intentional about it, or they can just, not be aware. And so if you it takes a while, culture change is not easy. But I think it starts with being intentional, doing some things like, some kind of perhaps an employee engagement survey or some kind of assessment that looks at the current state of the organization's culture, looks at what it's doing well and then what gaps there might be, and then having a conversation, sharing the data with everyone and having a conversation about what the team wants to do to make those shifts. Because while leadership obviously is very influential, each person in the organization, if they start to do something more positive, that also can have a ripple effect. So it doesn't mean that someone, wherever they are in the hierarchy of the organization, they can start taking positive steps.
Right. I mean, it's a difficult thing to sort of change a culture. It's
very difficult.
Yeah, it's one of those things that you can, build without much thought, but it takes a concerted effort to redefine things for people.
And unfortunately, a new leader can come in and, destroy a really positive culture very quickly if they have a very, if they have a more autocratic leadership style. So,
right.
It's a fragile, it's an interesting dichotomy of being kind of hard to change and yet fragile at the same time.
Right. And I know that we could, easily do the deep dig and dedicate an entire episode to toxic work environments and toxic personalities. And if you're up for that, maybe we should revisit another time and have that conversation. But But yeah, in the meantime,
probably too many stories to tell, and we want to keep people have some hope.
Exactly. Well, and I do think that there are concrete things that can be at least attempted when dealing with toxic work environments, because everything that I see online, people will get online on Reddit and elsewhere to say, look, I think I'm have a, you know, a hostile workplace or things like that. And 9 times out of 10, the constructive criticism, if you want to call it that, is just to get the heck out of Dodge. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's fair, right? I mean, on the one hand, not all employees are empowered to help make change. And on the other hand, maybe there's something better to do than just leave, but
and it's not always possible. Yeah. You know, not everyone has the luxury of just quitting, or you know, if especially right now with the economic realities, that may not be an option for folks.
Right. Well, I hope we can make another appointment to talk a little more in depth about some of these things. But in the meantime, since we're running out of time here, if a listener wanted to be in contact with you, how would you suggest they do that?
Sure. So Carol Hamilton, Grace Social Sector Consulting. My website is gracesocialsector.com. And I also just recently launched a podcast. Oh. So you can find my podcast. It's Mission Impact on the various places that you can find podcasts. Also a website, missionimpactpodcast.com.
Fantastic. I can't wait to check it out, Carol. And thank you for taking the time out of your day to do this recording with me today.
Awesome. I really appreciate you having me on. I always love talking about organizational culture.
Yeah, and let's definitely circle back and do a little bit more of a deep dig if you don't mind.
Sure.
Thank you, Carol.
And to our listeners, thank you as always for joining us for the Nonprofit Snapcast. We value your comments and feedback via the website. That's nonprofitsnapcast.org. And if you have any questions about the consulting work that we do, please visit nonprofitsnapshot.org. That's nonprofitsnapshot, not to be confused with Nonprofit Snapcast. nonprofitsnapshot.org. Click on the consulting tab at the top of the screen and you'll see the list of things that we're currently doing in partnerships with consultants across the country. In the meantime, thanks again for joining us. We'll see you with another episode in a few days.
This has been the Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.